Hey, and welcome to Youth Unfiltered, a podcast from Connect Evergreen. Connect Evergreen is a coalition in the Vancouver, Washington area made up of students, parents, and community members working together to support youth and build connections in the community. I'm Alia Nakvi, and along with my fellow interns from Union, Heritage, and Mountain View High School, we'll be sharing conversations about the issues, challenges, and ideas shaping student life today. Everything from substance use to social stigmas. Whether you're local or just curious about what youth are thinking and doing here, thanks for listening, and we're glad you're listening.
All right. Hi, my name is Shreya Gupta. I'm a rising junior at Union High School. I'm into a bunch of clubs at my school, like FBLA, STEM. I'm on the varsity swim team. So, yeah, I like reading, too.
Hi, my name is Sonia McManus. I'm also a rising junior over at Union High School, and I'm involved in debate. I love to read, and I play piano as well.
Hi, I'm Alia Nakvi. I'm also a rising junior at Union High School, and I also participate in a lot of activities at my school, including my school's band, where I'm in the wind ensemble, and I'm also a section leader this year. I'm also on my school's dance team, and I also am involved in different clubs as well. Lost train of thought. I also work as a math tutor.
I'm Dominic Reeder. I'm a rising junior at Heritage High School, and I like to play basketball. I play at my school, and I like to go to the gym.
Do you encounter pressure to experiment during these other activities?
Yeah, at least for mine. I don't know about band kids and stuff like that.
So we're doing this today.
Or the swim team. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
But for mine, yeah. Everybody up here, we're going to bleep that out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anytime that happens, just say it directly afterwards. Can we cut that so we remember?
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm at old school. I'm at last two old schools.
Sorry.
Everybody on the varsity team smokes. Everybody smokes. Everybody drinks. We would go out to parties all together. It was like, oh, do you want to smoke? Okay. No. Okay, don't start. And then, like, you keep on being around it, and then you, like, end up wanting to. But, like, it's just, like, everybody's doing it around you. Like, oh, it might not be that bad. And then, like, also, I was a freshman. So then going out with all the seniors, going out with all everybody who's older, who's, like, you kind of look up to a little bit. Like, being a freshman on VAR, like, you got all these guys around you. You're the youngest, and they're all smoking and stuff. It kind of just, like, just to fit in, yeah. Not even in like a bad way, but you kind of just like want to try it.
I've never really had any like major peer pressure to start using substances or anything. I've had a little bit of alcohol because I've seen like I go out with my friends somewhere and then they'd have like older siblings come with their friends and they would bring out like, I don't know, tequila or they'd bring out beer and then they start passing that around. And then my friends started doing it. And then they tried to pass one to me, and I was like, oh, no, I'm good. But then everyone was doing it around me, and the older siblings and the older friends were. And I was younger then, so I was, like, you know, intrigued. I was like, oh, maybe it's not so bad because they're all doing it and they're right. Fine and stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, that's really the only experience I've had with that. Not really at school or anything. I don't, like, none of my friends, none of the people around me really do that. So I guess just, like, I've, like, gotten more information, like, with this internship and with like my own like research outside, so I know about, and my, you know, my parents giving me like the health my dad's a doctor, so okay. He has a lot of people coming in basing long term health issues like with kidney failure and like, you know, there's some cancer like lung cancer with smoking, and he tells me these stories, and then so whenever I'm like, no, or whenever I think I'm going to face one of those situations, I always think about that. I'm like, do I really want to be like that in the future? Do I really want to have to spend all that money, spend all that time being treated for something that I could have prevented?
With me, it's, I think oftentimes the idea of peer pressure is more of like an internalized want or desire to fit in or participate in the social activity, because it's kind of a social activity in a ways. One of my friends who I very much look up to and stuff, I think she's a great person. She kind of has gotten into drinking lately. Like she drinks at school dances and stuff like that. And I have to always kind of like remember to keep the distinction between the behavior of using substances and her as a person. Because just because she's a good person and I think she's great doesn't mean that she's doing is great. But just because I think the behavior is bad doesn't mean she's a bad person either. So you just kind of got to make that distinction.
I've never been peer pressured into any of that stuff. Any of my friends that do that stuff, they've never offered. I mean, because they know that I'm just like, I'd never. But yeah, just seeing friends turn to peer pressure and seeing how easily they like fold in just to fit in, it's kind of disappointing almost. It's like, I know you could do better.
I think definitely making like the difference between just because they smoke doesn't make a bad person, just because they do this doesn't make a bad person. A couple bad decisions doesn't make a horrible person. Like, you're not going to be just a thug for the rest of your life. Like, it's more of like wanting to fit in. A lot of people, they smoke, you wouldn't even know. And then there's some that you can obviously tell because of the way they're smoking, because there's different ways. There's different ways to use substances. Once you start seeing them trying different stuff, and then like it'll start with like alcohol, then you start vaping and smoking, and then like then you got carts, and then you got crossfades, and then you got other stuff that you can try. And then where it comes from, oh, I just do it here and there, to like, oh, I do it like once a week, once a month, and then they're doing it daily, and then they start doing dumb stuff where they're like they're just smoking and they're not making decisions.
Okay.
Like I talked about my friend, he got high, he got crossfaded with a couple of friends. That means that's when you're drinking and smoking at the same time. Okay. And this was in eighth grade, so this is while I was still in middle school. And he ended up stealing a car. And then once he got out of juvie, they stole another car again after getting crossfaded again and drove it into a gas station.
Can you explain the appeal of vaping? And do y'all feel targeted with the marketing?
They have SpongeBob ones.
Yeah. Right.
Like, they have ones that have games on it.
Yeah,
you can text. There's one that's a phone that you can text people.
They're marketing them for our age.
Yeah.
Because they think that's where we're going to make the money.
Like Geek Bars. That's a really big brand.
But you guys are... Okay. Not to be judgmental, but what's the expectation for middle school kids and high school kids to have money to even spend on things?
Well, they make it cheap enough so then you can buy them.
Okay,
so you can buy one for like $10, $15.
Okay.
That's if you're getting paid let's say you just go mow a lawn, $15 is right there.
Or you get birthday money.
Birthday money.
Right.
Boom, well, birthday right money. Okay.
Stretchy your birthday.
It's not a real concept. Okay, I'm just saying.
What's my issue with getting money for your birthday?
Nothing.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so they're easily accessible, they're cheap,
and the flavors are marketed to kids.
Yeah,
like
right,
like I blueberry see kids going frost, around like, yeah, blueberry Icelandic something.
Oh, have you tried the peach ring one?
What?
Yeah, it's like literally, it's all it's marketed. Sweets.
Yeah, they're all marketed towards kids. They're not marketed for adults because they know that's where you're gonna make the money.
From what you've heard.
Somebody told me that they actually do taste like that.
They taste like the flavors?
Taste like it, except then once you blow it out, then it tastes like dog water. Like, oh. Disgusting.
Right.
Well, cigarettes, it's like you're inhaling the smoke. You're inhaling the burnt stuff. With vapes and stuff, I don't do it, actually. But they're bringing it to school, and you can just inhale it, and then you hold it for a second, and then all that stuff that you would see or would come up slowly goes away, and then it's called ghosting. So then it doesn't come up on the alarms. And then some people just do it in class. I've literally seen this is the kid who I said that brought coke to school and did it at school. He did coke, smoked, brought alcohol. It was so normalized by teachers, they didn't even expect any better from him. And he came from a good house, wealthy house. I know his parents, they moved just now, but he had a whole blunt in class. And he smoked. They're passing it around at the table, and he got in trouble because he wasn't even hiding it. She was like, "At least try to hide it." And he while the teacher walked in, he takes a big whiff and then lets all the air out. He's like coughing and dying, and he got like, I think he just had to go to detention for the day because of how normalized it was.
No, but they're also like really easy to hide and like conceal and carry.
There's markers. There's vape markers. Where they hide it as a highlighter, they hide it as a pen.
Are you serious?
Yes. And you can still use it. And they're hiding. It's for kids. Like, this is what I'm saying. It's marketed towards kids.
Oh, they're just easy to hide. Like, you put it in your back pocket. It looks like a wallet. Like, it.
There's backpacks made for it. So, like, spray ground backpacks. It's a really, like, big backpack brand. They're kind of expensive. The secret pocket in the back. It literally says you found the secret stash pocket on a card. And it's meant for kids. It's not meant for adults. Well, not everybody smokes and not everybody used the pocket. But it's, like, this card right here. Pocket. It's, no, it, there's a. It has a card in there. When you find it, it's right on the back. So when the teachers pat you down and look through it, it's hidden. There's literally a hidden zipper hidden in the stitching. And you're finding like a little card and it says, congrats, you found the secret stash pocket. Shh, don't tell anyone.
I also feel like they're like normalized to be seen. Like I walk into work or I go into a store, cashier has one right there, just sitting there. Right there. And no one really cares.
At the fair, the people working at the fair.
Oh my God. Yeah, at the fair.
Clark County Fair. So we just had a Clark County Fair, and it's just like a big thing around here. But I went down there, and like majority of the workers had carts just right there where they're managing the buttons and they're managing the stuff. I think some of these guys are teens, some of these guys are adults, but are literally smoking while operating the rides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also saw like a bunch of like kids walking around with them, but the adults also, you know, walking around with their kids and stuff. There are teens walking around like smoking and had it out, and they're talking to their friends and stuff, and the parents and the other people were just like walking past it, like didn't see anything.
Yeah, because you get at the mall. There's literally the mall. The dude who used to work there, everybody knew him because he worked at the vape stand, and you go up to them, he give you discounted prices, and he just buy for it. You give him the cash, and he give it to you. I feel like usually people start to stop at weed and then they kind of just like chill for a sec. Like some people can manage it. Some people, you know, they're doing it for anxiety purposes or just to cope or just to calm down. They shouldn't be doing it as a kid because of the long-term effects. But like adults, I think some adults should be allowed to use it.
Do you sometimes feel like you get judged for not using?
Some people sometimes, just because like where I used to live, it'd be like, oh, you're like, you're a sucker. Like, if you walk in, everybody's, like, in a circle, and they're all passed around a bong. They'll be like, you're a sucker. Or, like, they make fun of you, make it, like, a little joke. Like, they won't actually mean it, but they, like, make it, like, a little joke. I saw a fifth grader at the bus stop. This just reminded me, vaping. A fifth grader.
Yeah.
Like, my sister's 7. I don't want her to be around all that stuff. We were once in a parking lot going to the mall, and she's like, it smells funny here. It smells like fried vegetables. I'm like, and I look to my dad. I'm like, that's not fried vegetables. That's, yeah.
Right. It's such a distinct smell now. Like, I know what it is. I grew up around it. Like I said, like right. My whole family smokes. My whole family drinks. Like I'm just used to it. But like, there's so many kids. Like in fourth and fifth grade, kids knew what weed was. Kids knew what it smelled like.
What expectations do you have of adults that are seeing teens using in public?
I mean, honestly, it's so normalized now. I don't really have a reaction. It's like, oh, they're like, I just like process them. Like, oh, it's normal. But like, I feel like my reaction to them ignoring it is like, why is this being so normalized? Like, why are you seeing like these middle schoolers walking around with vapes in their hand and like goofing off and laughing with their friends about to go on this giant ride? Like, why are you just walking past that? Like, are you not supposed to be an adult? You're not supposed to be a worker? Like, you're supposed to be an adult, like, to help the kids. Like, why are you just ignoring them?
I don't do all that. I just ignore it.
Yeah. Like, in the moment, it's like, I don't even process it because it's so normal. Like walking past it, pretend it's not there. It's so normal. But now later, like going over it, like seeing everyone just pretend that they're not vaping, that's my reaction to that.
In your opinion, are students just losing their way and stumbling into substance abuse?
I don't think it's always like that, because there is some, like my homeboy, he's not even my homeboy anymore. He did the program I was talking about with basketball, but like, He started off smoking. Think he's like 22 years old in high school now, getting his GED now, because he dropped out. He had a whole bunch of charges, like crazy charges, and then he kept smoking, kept on doing it. He spent all his money on weed, spent all his money on his girlfriend. And then eventually his girlfriend kicked him out, and now he's on the streets. We told him, leave that girl alone too. Then there's some people where they just keep smoking. They do it like I'll do it here and there. Like I'll do it here. I'll do it once a month, or I'll do it on special occasions where it's like they're not smoking to like get lit and go get party, go get turnt, but like they're just smoking to calm down. Like some of my uncles, they smoke chill. They just, yeah, I go get dabs, or I'll go get an edible and I'll just calm down at night and watch a TV show. Cause I feel like a lot of people look at weed like it's just a horrible like thing, but it's a horrible thing when it gets used the wrong way, just like anything else. Like if you're using weed to get turnt, and like you're using it as an escape, and you're using it as this side or the other, and you're overusing it, and then you start relying on it, that's when I feel like you lose your way.
Has legalization made you more curious about cannabis?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Oh.
No.
I mean, no.
When I'm older, yeah, but like right now, no. But like then looking like then you see like people in Portland when they made the legalization of everything legal, and then like it just destroyed so many people's lives. So
yeah,
I think legalization doesn't always make it like sound better, because like legalization of fent in Portland doesn't make me want to try fent when I'm older.
I mean, yeah, it really depends, like what I think it depends, like the environment you grow up in, like your home environment, sure, your school environment,
sure,
community environment. I grew up in an environment where that's like so strictly, like my dad gave me all the information at a very young age and told me this is what's going to happen if you do this.
Yeah.
And I also, like, I lived in Portland for a little while as well, and like I walked around with my family, and I saw everyone on the streets, I saw people doing it, I saw like them like going on the road, like jaywalking, the busy traffic. I'm like, oh my god, I'm never gonna do that, like that's scary.
Yeah.
No. Cause I was young when I like experienced that, like when I saw that happening in Portland. And now that just put me off it forever.
Yeah.
I think with the good upbringing, though, I've seen some people who have, like, best positive family upbringing. You know, they're rich. Like, one of the people, I think I talked about her on the last episode, she's one of my friends, but she does coke. She does all of it. Her parents all look down on it, like, very, very bad. And she still does it. Like, she grew up in a nice household. Her dad's a doctor, too. Her mom is a stay-at-home mom. Like, she had it real nice growing up, and she still does it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think even with all this stuff, you could have the best parents ever, best child ever, and you might still end up doing it just for different reasons rather than... Because not every kid's doing it just to smoke or peer pressure. Some people are doing it because something outside of the family might have happened.
No, yeah. I think, like, your home environment doesn't determine, like, whether you're going to, like, do it when you're older, whether you're going to smoke, whether you're going to drink... It influences it, but it doesn't determine it. It also you also have to take into account like your school environment, your community environment, people around you outside of your house. Like, obviously, having a good family, having a stable income, having that a stable like house, like that obviously is going to help them. It's going to influence, but it's not going to determine anything.
What type of influence do people in positions of power hold in these situations?
Are we talking about like celebrities, or are we talking about like police officers? It
depends on who's viewed as a servant, who's not just a position of power, but also
influence.
Someone with influence. Because for some people, maybe a police officer wouldn't. For some people, maybe a coach would be.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, maybe it's an actual, you know, someone who's popular.
Okay, so I think, well, celebrities, some celebrities I know, they do, and then some they don't. So like Kai Cenat, like he'll heavily preach on not smoking and stuff, even though he does it. He tells his youth not to. And then for police, I think it depends on the youth, but most youth, if a police officer tells you to stop, they usually stop.
But is that out of respect, or
mm-mm,
just because they have to? Else,
yeah,
it's like fear.
It's out of fear.
Yeah.
Right.
I've seen some though. They just don't stop. I've seen some people where they don't respect the police enough, and they just, I didn't get in trouble for this. My friend, we were walking by, and he blew smoke in his face.
In the cop's face?
Yeah. I don't know how he didn't get in trouble.
No consequences?
No consequences.
At all?
At all.
Here or Cali?
In Portland.
Oh.
So here. Being realistic about it, I feel like a lot of people, they're like, I don't want to talk about it because it's just such a sensitive topic, but making it since it's already normalized when you see it, why are you acting like it's a sensitive topic to talk about if it's happening everywhere? It's like the same thing with racism. Like, everybody acts like, oh, it's just a topic I don't want to touch because it's super sensitive. And, like, some people might get offended. Some people might get here, here, and here. Some people might disagree. Well, you're going to have that with every single opinion and every single fact. Like, so there's going to be people who disagree. So actually having people stand up and being like, you know, this isn't good and we need to fix it.
Well, for positions of power at school, I'd say teachers, of course. And the expectation, at least for me, is that they at least say something or do something. Because a lot of the time, I feel like they turned a blind eye. Like in my freshman English class, you know, the kids were drinking in class and stuff. That teacher, she would have had to been like nearly blind not to notice these guys coming in with their Gatorade bottles and eyes bloodshot and stuff. But she never said anything. I don't think she cared that much or thought it wasn't her business. Or, yeah.
Yeah, they always just like put it off as to, oh, it might be a home issue. Oh, they're just coping. Oh, it's just not my problem. But like, it is your problem. It's your students, right? I feel like counselors should also speak up, reach out more often. Maybe like mental check-ins, pull a kid in. I mean, like every time you pull a kid in, you think they're getting in trouble.
Yeah.
So I feel like normalizing pulling a kid in just to chat with them, like.
Yeah, because like at a lot of the schools, counselors aren't seen as people you can talk to if you need help, if you feel unsupported, if you're lonely. The more people you go for scheduling or more like official school things you need to take care of, like switching a class or figuring out a credit issue. Like I know a ton of my friends, and even myself included, we don't see counselors as people we can talk to. We see them as more authority figures who we need to keep our distance from because we don't feel safe around them or we don't feel seen by them. And partially, it's not completely their fault. I mean, at least in our school, there's like 1,200 kids. Obviously, they are not going to be able to get to like a personal level with every single kid. That'd be unrealistic. But I feel like having counselors like not just be like so official or so direct, like we're wanting to get their job over with. But like if they see a kid who's struggling or who needs help, like not just putting their issue off or getting through it so they can get it over with, but like checking in with them like on a personal level.
Just to add on to the counselor part, I feel like many kids are like just scared to reach out because, you know, there's always that fear of like, oh, they're going to tell my parents. Oh, they're going to get higher authority involved. So that kind of like changes who you ask help from.
And sometimes also counselors, sometimes they don't help. Sometimes they make the situations worse because it's something that they have to do with the school.
As far as reporting?
Mm-hmm.
But I've had some counselors where they're super, super, like, amazing, and they actually helped out a lot.
Yeah.
But then there's some people don't want to go to because they have a bad rep, and then they're also, they might like working with kids, but they might not be good at it.
Because counselors aren't like therapists. They're not bound for privacy, right?
Mm-mm.
Or,
not at all.
They're mandatory reporters. And
it's not like that, that's something they can change.
Yeah, it's part of their job. It's not their fault necessarily. Yeah. But that is an aspect of it that people consider.
That's an aspect why kids don't go talk to them.
So is everybody in the school system. Teachers are mandated reporters, principals, vice principals.
That's why kids don't reach out to them. So
mm-hmm.
My teachers, they just say that you have to say hypothetically.
I had a teacher like that.
That's all my teachers have me do is say hypothetically this happened.
What are some of the ways that you've seen substance abuse normalized?
In college campuses? Mm-hmm. Go to a party. Not even just a party, but if you go, like, you're not supposed to smoke. They have people in the dorms where they're like, oh, you know, they walk by, they make sure no one's smoking. You got edibles. It's literally a part of the college experience. Like, they call it, oh, if you're not going to do it in high school, at least have your college experience. Smoke, drink, and like you said, when you were younger and you tried stuff out when you were in your 20s, it's like the time that you're supposed to. But when you think about it, the male brain isn't fully developed. The frontal lobe in the male brain isn't fully developed until you're around 25.
Yeah. Right, and then all over social media, it's just like, oh, get ready with me to go to the club. Oh, get ready with me for a party. Friday night party. Tuesday night party. Everyday party.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you also see it in movies and TV shows of, like, college, like, you know, like, movies where you see, like, college life. You see the actors, like, going out, like, partying, drinking, smoking, making it seem cool, making it seem, like, part of the culture of college, all part of the excitement of college, just to try these things, just to, like, you know, out of curiosity, experiment, and really, like, feel, I feel like it's also the sense of belongingness, or, like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this college thing right. I'm doing this the right way. I'm making sure this is enjoyable. I'll make sure this is memorable. And it's just so normalized in media, popular media. It's not even, like, concerning to a lot of people. It's just part of what you're supposed to do. Like, it's a part of the checklist in college. You have to drink. You have to go try edibles. It's just something you do.
It starts in high school, though. Like, if you go to high school parties, it starts, and you start drinking, you start seeing it. And then you go to a college party. They already started drinking when they were in high school. So now they're doing, like, Tito's, and they're drinking Don Julio. They're drinking all this. And when you look at, like, college, like, most people think, oh, like, some people are going to think Harvard. Some people are going to think Stanford and all these Ivy Leagues. And then some people are going to be like, oh, I'm getting turned in college. Go to San Diego. And
But I don't know if that's what you were trying to say earlier, but I think some kids, like, target some schools or apply to some schools just for their party culture.
There's a top 10 party school list. Like,
I don't know if that's what you were trying to say earlier.
Yeah, that's what, like, I was trying to say. Like, number one and number three. So, number one is Santa Barbara, SoCal campus. So third or fourth is, like, San Diego. And some kids will apply to these schools in Minnesota. They'll be in Minnesota and apply to it just for the parties. Yeah.
Just like some kids apply to, like, I don't know, Stanford for their programs. Like, their academic program, some kids apply to these types of schools just for
Arizona University.
ASU. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some people just apply there just to go to the part.
Just break up with your spouse if they're going to ASU. Just break up.
I was going to say, to add on to that, it's actually pretty interesting. Some of the websites that, like, tell you information about different colleges, they'll actually, like, rank the party scene or, like, just like they rank, like, Greek life, how big is that? How big is the party scene?
Yeah.
I've seen that scrolling.
So, does anyone tell us? We need to ask research?
No.
Okay. Wait until college?
Another thing, though, I know some people personally who, like, go to high school parties and try, like, edibles or start drinking in high school to prepare for college. Just to prepare.
I've seen it. Like,
I know people who do that.
That's pretty silly reasoning.
Yeah, like, instead of studying, they're going to go to this party and drink and start vaping so they're not caught off guard or seen as, like, the newbie or freshie in college.
That's weird reasoning.
I know people do that.
It's like how I was talking about for high school, like, how I first came and then we'd go to parties and stuff. And then you're all around it and you're like, oh, okay. And they're like, oh, well, we do this at college parties all the time.
It's, again, that thing of belonging or being accepted. They don't want to seem like the newbie or the innocent one. They want to be, like, in the culture.
They want to be in, like, frat houses and stuff. If they, like, bro, I would never, ever be in a frat house. There's some that are good, but now it's just, like, there's a lot that are bad. Like, a lot that are bad now that are doing stuff that isn't even, like, part of that culture anymore. But, like it's, like you said, it's their own culture. Like, it's, like, they're getting ready to get turned. They're getting ready to do this and the other. And, like my uncle, when he went to college, bro, he was out for, like, 3 weeks because he ate a whole thing of Rice Krispie. Like, read Rice Krispie brownie things.
Yeah.
Oh.
How do you deal with the pressure of wanting to steer your peers away from substance abuse?
I think in terms of not doing anything when you see people around you using substances, it's important to just remember that you're not responsible for other people's happiness. It's hard to balance because on one hand, you want to help people and they're your friends and you care about them a lot, but you also have to have the mindset of self-preservation. You gotta prioritize yourself first, even though it's tricky to do sometimes. That's my take on it.
And also, like, a lot of that stigma, like, yeah, like, obviously we're almost adults, we're almost going to college, but you also have to remember these are teenagers. These aren't, like, fully grown 50-year-old adults who have the resources and training and, like, the experience. Like, a lot of times, a lot of these people don't know what to do in these situations. They don't know how to help them without making the situation worse. Like, I feel like a lot of people are way too quick to judge the people who didn't say anything or couldn't help enough. But you have to remember, I mean, what if they felt stuck? What if they couldn't?
tell me those people who are judging and stuff, like, and are like, oh, why didn't you do anything? Like, why didn't you stop it? Well, what would you have done in the situation? How should I have stopped it? Was I supposed to tell them stop and just take it out of their hands and then they get more and do it again? Or, like, how was I supposed to stop them?
Yeah.
When I'm walking past a group of kids at the fair, am I supposed to grab it out of their hands and throw it on the ground and smash it and make a whole scene?
Yeah.
Am I supposed to go up to them and be like, oh, why are you smoking? That's bad for you. They don't care. Some little badass kids. They're going to be like, they're going to make fun of you.
These fifthers.
They're not going to do anything. Like, if I go up to someone who's smoking, they've already heard a billion times smoking's bad for you. What am I supposed to do? Tell them it's bad for them again? And again?
Right. They're just going to write it off. It's like, oh, some silly little kid just came up to me, told me to do something. They're not the boss of me. Like,
right. It comes off as nagging.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times people think it's not really your place, especially if you're not close to the person. It's not your place to get involved in their life, even though.
Focus on
you. I don't
know.
That's just the kind of mindset that I think a lot of people have. There are ways you can help, but it is definitely tricky.
And if you are close to them and you start, like, then it's not nagging. You start telling them, oh, why, like, you shouldn't do this. It's bad for you. You lose, you like, present the opportunity for losing that connection or losing that bond. And then who do they have? Like, you don't, you're afraid of pushing them away. Then you're just left, like, without that friendship. And that could make the situation all worse.
Maybe not outright. Maybe not you yourself being the, primary response to their issues, but rather being a support, like an empathetic figure, and then also in small ways guiding them, like offering them resources or introducing them to potential options they have, while not being overly forceful to the extent that you lose that connection, right. Like Alia said.
Because once that connection is lost,
you can't help them.
I don't know, where I grew up, if you're trying to, like, there's this one girl who was super annoying, super all this, like, she's like not super popular, and then, like, one time a group of my friends were walking by, my cousin, he's smoking, my friend, he's smoking, and she's like, you should stop doing that, and they just made fun of her. They didn't even bat an eye. They were like who the fuck is you? Like, it's just like, it's also just like, most people now, it's like, mind your business. Like, if it's not affecting you, then leave it alone. And even if it's like in the classroom, it's affecting the class, you'd be like, can you just stop? They're going to laugh it off and be like,
guys, we just knocked out another 50 minutes.
Thank you.
After the break.
Solid.
That's killing me.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think we'll get the boss for today.
That's it for this episode of Youth Unfiltered. Thanks for listening. We're the Connect Evergreen interns working with this coalition in Vancouver, Washington to bring you these conversations. Make sure to follow along with future episodes, and we'll see you next time.